late due to a lot of circumstances. It's about 17 minutes after 10. Members present, Senator Torgerson, Senator Adams, Senator Parnell, Senator Phillips, myself, Senator Sharp. The other co-chair, Senator Pierce, is just outside the door and will be joining us shortly, as well as I think Senator Donnelly was in here earlier. Our first order of business will be SB 13, tobacco tax increase tax proposal. What we have before us in the file is a finance CS, and I can either speak to it now or adopt it as a vehicle. Senator Adams?
Mr. Chairman, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for Senate Bill number 13, finance, with the slash Q, be adopted.
Any objections?
Mr. Chairman, I'll object just for a moment. I do have an amendment that I'd like the committee to consider, and the amendment goes to the Hess version. So if you'll allow me the latitude of offering an amendment under the Finance Committee version, it won't line up exactly with sections and line numbers, but okay, the intent would be there. So I have no objection to adopting the Finance version as long as I'm allowed that latitude.
That'll be no problem, Senator Torgerson. I think there's another amendment that possibly Revenue may want to suggest also, and I don't know if which version it addresses, but I think that'll be doable to at least to give you the opportunity to present it and discuss it and see where we are.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would remove my objection.
Objection has been removed. Any other objection to adopting the Finance CS slash Q version? If not, that's the vehicle we have before us for discussion purposes. Since this is the first bill that I sponsored that's before this committee, I assume I could speak to it from the chair. CS that we have before us actually is a combination bill. It's obviously a tax bill, revenue bill. It's an education bill, as you'll notice. That's where the funds are, the purpose of the funds are earmarked to go. And it's a health bill, because there's sections in the bill that speak to health, particularly of our youth. Section 1 details the legislative intent and purpose of the bill. Sections 1, items 1 and 2, starting on line 6, directs the cigarette tax be deposited to the existing dedicated school fund and can only be used for rehabilitation, construction, and repair of the state school facilities as per AS 4350-140. Item 3 on page 1, on lines 12 to 14, and page 2, lines 1 to 3, states legislative intent, subject to appropriation, as all future expenditures are, that the new tobacco tax revenue be used for the establishment and maintenance of an aggressive anti-tobacco campaign targeting children, and also to establish and maintain a program of pass-through grants to municipalities for programs to municipalities who desire to participate, or programs to detect and prosecute those who sell or supply tobacco products to children. Sections 3 and 4 increase the tax on each pack of cigarettes by 71 cents. Section 5 increases, that's a change from the previous version. The previous version called for a dollar increase. This takes the total tax up to a dollar, so it's a 71 cent increase. Section 5 increases the excise tax on tobacco products, non-cigarette type tobacco products, from 25% of wholesale value to 75% of wholesale value, which tracks close to the same percentage that the 71 cents does to the total tax on cigarettes. Section 6 amends AS 4350-350 to bring the statute into line with legislative intent. The new CS revises AS 4350-350, which is disposition of proceeds, and is expanded to cover the use of the proceeds for criminal prosecution involving the sale of tobacco products to persons under the age of 19, per the intent stated previously in earlier sections of the bill. Sections 7, 8, and 9 are sets varying conditions and effective dates depending on possible court decisions. Section 8 allows for a retroactive fallback clause to accommodate any court-ordered changes on disposition of the revenue. The accompanying fiscal note analysis breaks the estimated revenue from cigarettes and that from other tobacco products because of the constitutional constraints and proposed different uses in the legislation. These amounts represent a significant portion of the $66 million of new revenue that we have been committed to as far as our long-range fiscal plan for the year 98. So this is one option of reaching some of that new revenue that we adopted in the long-range plan last year for a five-year plan. So I guess at this stage I urge your scrutiny of the draft of the CS in front of us, and I know you're all aware of the various surveys and PR and so forth, but we're here to analyze the actual legislation in front of us. Mr. Jack Chenoweth, is in the audience available to answer questions on the legal reasoning involved in the bill and any other areas that you may wish clarified, because there are some sections in here that are triggered based upon some legalities. Senator Phillips.
We have Mr. Chenoweth to briefly go over those legal aspects.
We sure can. Jack, will you restate?
Jack, could you go over briefly the legal aspects of this bill, if you can, maybe section by section, the implications, and we have a...
State for the record, Senator Pierce has joined us.
I'm Jack Chenoweth with the Legal Services Division. As Senator Sharp pointed out, there is in current law at 435140 a dedicated fund called the school tax, and it is there from before statehood, and it is there at the same rate of levy, 2.5 mils, or I should say that the tax that is due, the tax levy that supports that school fund is set at 2.5 mils and has been there since statehood. This bill proposes to increase that tax levy from 2.5 mils to 38 mils, that's page 2, line 5, with the understanding that the increase would be handled the same way as it is now, in the dedicated fund provisions. There are old AG opinions out there that say that, that were prepared right after statehood, that say that if you change the rate of taxation of a dedicated tax, a tax whose proceeds are dedicated, you destroy the underlying dedication. And it's for that reason that for the last nearly 30 years, I think, the legislature has stayed away from amending the 2.5 mil rate in AS 435090A. Last year when this issue came up, we took a good hard look at the journal of the proceedings of the Constitutional Convention, and there is discussion in there that seems to at least call into question the Attorney General's opinion that seems to suggest that adjusting the rate up or down of a tax that is the proceeds of which are dedicated does not destroy the dedication. Only the repeal of the tax or a change in the purpose of the dedication destroys the underlying dedication. So for that reason, we have encouraged the legislators to look at increasing the millage rate that supports the dedication. If we're wrong, then what this bill includes is a provision in Section 3 that takes the increased rate in the provision that supports the dedication back down to 2.5 mils and moves the 35.5 mil increase over to the non-dedicated portion, which is AS 435190A, Section 4. Sections 3 and 4 take effect only if a court enters a decision that says that, as the AG said back 30 years ago, that the change in the rate destroys the underlying dedication. What we're trying to do is give the legislature the benefit of using the increase to support the school fund, but if for reasons having to do with the reading of the dedication in the state constitution that is not possible, then we propose to undo that and set the increase over in the non-dedicated provision under 190.
That'll be Section 8, right?
That's Section 4. All of the coming into effect of all that is covered in Section 8. You're right, Senator.
All right.
And for reasons that were indicated in a letter in early February, the Attorney General's office recommended that we make some provision by way of a retroactive provision so that if the circumstances that we're concerned about do occur, then in order to avoid a possible double taxation argument, a credit is recognized against amounts previously covered so that we essentially take this thing out from under any possible double taxation argument involving this issue. The only other portion of it is, of course, the excise tax in Section 5. This is a non-dedicated provision. The use of the proceeds is set over in Section 6. You can see the current law there only talks in terms of making it available for health care, health research, and so forth. The sponsor asks that we pick up and add to that the language on page 3, lines 10 through 13, to cover the intent that's addressed in the first section of the bill. And then, because of concerns that arise chiefly out of the decision several years ago in Sonneman v. Hickel, as I recall, there's a disclaimer in Section 7 that the legislature realizes that it really is not creating a dedication. We're not intending that this change create a dedication. The principal operative sections take effect October 1st under Section 10. The contingent provisions take effect if a court rules against what I have suggested is possible, and that is an increase or change in the rate of the cigarette tax without destroying the dedication. If the court rules against us on that, then the provisions, the contingent provisions of Section 3 and 4 take effect.
Senator Torgerson?
Thank you. If I understand this now, if the court, in Section 11, if this goes to the court and that's challenged, then Section 3 and 4 kick in.
Yes.
My question is, what would happen to the tax or the timeline between, let's say somebody challenges this? I would imagine that the court would put an automatic stay on the collection of money until they decide the issue?
I don't know. I don't think so. I'm suggesting that they would not, simply because whether the person who challenges this prevails or not, the rate of cigarette tax to them is going to be the same. It's going to be an increase of 71 mils. The only question is whether you, the legislature, can pass a law that dedicates that money or whether you cannot dedicate that money. In any event, the rate is the same. So I don't know why a court would, I think the court would say, we can sort this out. We don't need to put a hold on the increase that's proposed. This bill, in its own way, says that if we rule one way, the money will be dedicated, and if we rule the other way, another provision will kick in, and the money will continue to come into the general fund and be available for appropriation anyway.
So at best, you think they may continue it, but they'd make us escrow it? I mean, they're not going to let us spend it.
I don't know that they're going to make you escrow it.
I think that would be one of the first things you'd do if you had a question of what fund it would go into. You wouldn't want, unless you had some sort of assurance that one of the other funds would reimburse the loser within the state government. But Mr. Chairman, if I could have the latitude to talk about my amendment, since Mr. Edwards is at the table, I know I haven't moved it, but this all comes back into the same discussion.
You want to discuss it with Ms. Chenoweth?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I mean, the amendment that I had placed before you that it hasn't been offered yet was, after I read this and seeing what's going to happen, my amendment places this before the voters for voter approval. And I know that many of us don't necessarily like to delegate that authority. I mean, it's something that rests with the legislature and so forth, and I go along with that argument. But what you're doing here is setting yourself up for a court challenge anyway. I don't think it's a question of if you'll have one, it's when. And then you go into the debate whether if voter approval would get us, and dedicating this fund through voter approval, which is what one side of the constitutional law says we have to do, or the Constitution, versus the other side, which is an Attorney General's opinion that says we don't. This, I think, we achieve the goal prior to, or quicker than, we do getting a court decision with a lot less hassle. So that's the reason I offered going to offer this amendment. So if you could respond to that, I don't know, I didn't put that in the form of a question, but I guess what I'm saying is you get there quicker if you go to the vote, put it before the voters, and it is dedicated versus cat and mouse games with Department of Law and our court system.
Are we talking about the K3 amendment?
Yes.
I'm not sure that this is going to make legal questions in the original bill go away. All the amendment would do would make the entirety of the act coming into effect dependent upon voter approval at the November 1998 general election. Let's assume that everybody in the state voted yes on this thing. That does not diminish the argument over on the bill as drafted as being offered as to whether dedication of the funds is or is not possible. I think if this introduces a further uncertainty, because there is a real difference of opinion between our office and, again, the Attorney General's office as to whether legislation may be enacted contingent upon or conditioned upon voter approval. We say, and have said for many years, no. The Attorney General's office has found some authority that they believe that this kind of approach is defensible. That issue also could be litigated. Indeed, that might come along and be litigated before the question of the merits of the dedication of the tax is ever reached.
Well, I think that's my point. If the goal is to apply a tax, you get there quicker by voter approval than you do running it through the normal system. Because it's going to be challenged. We know that. And we know that, we don't know the result of the challenge, but I think you get there a lot quicker by just going to the ballot and approving it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Any other questions by committee members of Mr. Chenoweth at this time? No, I don't either. I might have one in about, as soon as I talk to the Department of Revenue, though. wait a minute, Jack. Senator Pierce?
Under Section 6, disposition of proceeds, it clearly says that tax money goes into the general fund and then it may be used by the legislature to make appropriations. Areas. Is that any more of a dedication than an ASTF endowment, where the legislature chose to set aside an endowment, the money flows through, but we still have to appropriate it, and we can choose to do so. I think that it's permissive. We may appropriate those dollars back to the ASTF. We have been doing so, but it's what Senator Fakes used to call a white picket fence. It's not a constitutional set aside. It's a legislative accounting set aside, if you will, where we say, okay, we're going to put this money over here and put a fence around it, and this money over here and put a fence around it. It's like the Rail Belt Energy Fund. No more, no less dedicated than that. So I guess I'm wondering why we're more concerned about the constitutionality here than we are in those cases.
Section 6 is not the dedicated fund, Senator. Section 6 supports the use of the money from tax that's placed on cigars, snuff, pipe tobacco, and things of that sort. The dedicated fund is 435140, which is not amended in this bill. And as I say, it's been around since 1955. The proceeds derived from the payment of taxes, fees, and penalties under the cigarette tax, particularly 435090A, and the license fees received by the department shall be paid into a state fund entitled school fund and shall be used exclusively to rehabilitate, construct, and repair the state school facilities and for costs of insurance or insurance on buildings comprising school facilities during the rehabilitation, construction, and repair, and for the life of the buildings. That's a true dedication. It's one of the very few that are left, and it is the maintenance of that dedication that is put in issue by the proposed increase in the tax rate under Section 2.
But the separate section is not a dedication.
It is not a dedication.
Set aside. Picket fence.
Further questions?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. What was it?
I'd like to call on Bob Bartholomew with Department of Revenue at this time. you give us your comments on the bill and any suggestions you may have at this time.
For the record, my name is Bob Bartholomew, and I'm the Deputy Director of the Income and Excise Audit Division in the Department of Revenue. Chairman, I think what I'd like to do is just comment on the fiscal note and then the potential amendments or areas to consider amending. And I think first I'll just give a summary of I guess, the fiscal effects of the CS and what that's doing. As previously stated, the CS is intended to raise the cigarette tax in the dedicated school fund by 35.5 mils, which equates to 71 cents a pack. So the increase would be 71 cents. The current state tax is 29 cents. So the combined tax, if this version of the bill was adopted, would be $1 per pack of cigarettes. And the increased taxes from that would go into the school fund would be approximately $30 million. That would be the increase into the school fund. The other portion of the bill deals with the tobacco products, cigars, chewing tobacco. Currently, that is taxed at 25% of the wholesale rate, of the wholesale price. This bill would increase it to 75% of the wholesale price. And the increase in revenue, and again, in the first year, this bill only has the rate increase in effect for 9 months, and then I'm quoting what would be a full 12-month increase. You would then have about a $2.6 million increase for the tobacco products, and as Senator Pierce was stating, that's going into an account in the general fund. It's not dedicated. It does have some specific guidance in the statute as to how it could be used.
I.e. the picket fence.
Pardon me?
I.e. the picket fence.
That's correct. And there's this legislation adds two other specific ideas related to anti-smoking campaigns and grants to municipalities for prosecution. So that is the fiscal effects of the bill. So the grand total would be an increase of about $33 million a year in taxes. The items that I wanted to just point out that are in the House version of the tobacco bill is currently under current statute, the taxpayers are allowed to maintain 1% of the tax paid to cover their administrative costs in processing and paying the tax. By increasing the tax without addressing that rate of administrative fee that they get to maintain, currently, last year, all the taxpayers got to retain about $150,000 split amongst the taxpayers to cover their costs. If we don't adjust that percentage and we make a large increase in the rate, next year those taxpayers would be allowed to maintain $450,000. So we'd go up from $150,000 to $450,000. They may have some additional paperwork, but it's going to be minimal compared to the amount of the increase. So as the House had done, we supported adjusting that percentage to 0.4%. That would give the taxpayers a slight increase in fees to cover their costs, but it wouldn't be the windfall that would happen under the current version. And you'd have to just amend it in two sections of the bill would be amended to do that on page 2. The other area is a similar situation with the tobacco products tax. You would just have to add a new section that reduces their administrative fee from 1% down to 0.4%.
Any questions from the committee members of Mr. Bartholomew? The 0.4 then would produce an estimated equivalent of how much?
Okay, currently they receive about $150,000. Yeah. Under 0.4%, it'd be around $180,000.
So there is a slight increase to cover any additional clerical cost.
Yeah, and that would be spread across all the
$180,000, okay. Compared to $450,000 if it was left at 1%.
That's correct.
Okay, any other questions from the department? So we can anticipate a new fiscal note reflecting close to the figures you just gave. I don't think we have it yet because we just seen the draft this morning like you.
Right. We've run the numbers based on the draft, and it would be approximately $33 million.
Approximately $30 million and 2.6, huh?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. The page is copying a proposed amendment that would accomplish, for consideration, that would accomplish the reduction from 1% to 4/10. I think we may well want to consider that. Here it comes now. Let's see. Next, I have Pat Carr, who says yes or no for testifying, but if the committee wishes, she will. So I guess the committee wishes.
Thank
State
you.
Your name and affiliation.
Certainly will. I'm Pat Carr. I'm with the Division of Public Health, Department of Health and Social Services, and I am speaking on behalf of the Department of Health and Social Services, and I responded and my sign-up the way that I did because you have in your packet a set of materials to give you guidance in terms of the department's position, in terms of the health consequences of tobacco use, and I didn't know the extent of time that we'd have to present or to share information. I'd like to maybe just make a few points and then then be available for questions if that's what the chair would wish. Does that sound appropriate? Yeah. Okay. Due to the high number of deaths that are attributable to tobacco use in the state, we are take the position in support of increasing taxation on tobacco. 23% of deaths in Alaska 35 years of age or older are attributable to smoking. You have a packet of materials, and I will just point out a few of the items, and then I think the committee has had some opportunity to review this packet ahead of time. On item 5, is page 5 of your packet, points out the heavy youth involvement in tobacco use and that currently over 20% of our youth are regular users of tobacco. And 83% of adults report that they start smoking before the age of 20. I also will point out to you on page 11 of your packet where the department is very concerned about the total direct medical costs attributable to smoking for Alaskans aged 35 years of older in 1993 was $96.5 million. The total direct cost, medical care costs associated with tobacco use was $23 million, and this was paid for by Medicaid, which is a combination of state and federal funds. On item page 14 of your packet of materials, information has come to our attention. We've been monitoring the use of imposition of tobacco taxes as a strategy to reduce youth consumption and as well as adult consumption. Information that we have indicates that for every 10% increase in cigarette prices, youth consumption will fall by at least 10%, and that consumption will fall by 4% in the general population. Our major position in this support of the tobacco tax is to decrease the amount of youth use of tobacco. Currently, we have 18,000 Alaskans who are under the age of 18 who will prematurely die of tobacco-related illness. On item page 15 of your material, we have taken a position in terms of the tax increase, if it were at a dollar, would reduce youth consumption in Alaska by an estimated 32% and would prevent 5,700 premature deaths among Alaskans under the age of 18. That's with this summary of the materials and pointing out to specific pages related to this impact. I'll be prepared to respond to questions as needed by the committee.
Thank you. Questions from committee members? Thank you. I appreciate the packet.
Thank you very much.
Wait a minute.
On page 11 on your throwing $23 million of direct medical costs to the Medicaid. Is that $23 million state general funds, or is that $23 million total, state and federal?
That's the total, combined state and federal.
So in this case, then, it would be about $11.5 million state general fund dollars.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have on the sign-up sheet, Jeannie Monk.
My name is Jeannie Monk, and I live here in Juneau. I work for SEARCH, Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium, the organization responsible for providing care to all Alaska Natives in Southeast. I'm also part of the Juneau Tobacco Prevention Network and the Alaska Tobacco Control Alliance. And I'm here today to ask you to support the tobacco tax increase of $1 a pack or as amended. And I know you've all heard the statistics about tobacco, and the packet that was given to you will probably outline every single number I could possibly read. But the one thing I really want to point out is that there's really been widespread public support for this tobacco tax. 74% of respondents in a statewide survey favored the tobacco tax increase, and 55% of tobacco users support the tax. So I think there is the widespread public support for it. The number that really catches my attention all the time, and I'll repeat it again, is the one that Pat Carr said, the estimate that at the current rate of smoking, 18,000 young Alaskans alive today will become addicted to cigarettes and eventually die. 18,000. And I think about the young people that I know and work with in my job, and that number scares me. The estimate is that the dollar pack increase would reduce teen smoking by one-third and would save 5,700 lives. So I see this as a really significant health measure and one that we can't ignore. Just to let you know a little bit about what we're doing about tobacco besides coming here and asking you to raise the tobacco tax, Alaska Tobacco Control Alliance and our local organization in Juneau focuses on a three-pronged strategy. We are looking at enforcement, education, and pricing. Just to let you know a little bit about the other things we're doing. For education, we have high school students around the state who've been trained to go into elementary school classes and teach younger students about the dangers of tobacco use. We have a group here in Juneau called Teens Against Tobacco Use that's been very effective and powerful. And the education is very important and something we're working a lot on. We have a smoking cessation class at the high school here in Juneau. At the most recent class, 20 teenagers showed up wanting to quit smoking. And for them, it's extremely difficult. And they often say they wish they'd never started. The enforcement area, we are working with the school system, the police, and the courts across the state to crack down on youth who are smoking illegally at school or throughout the community. So to enforce the law of minor in possession of tobacco. We're also working throughout the state on compliance checks to keep kids from being able to purchase the tobacco products. So we're really doing a lot of different things throughout the state, and all of these activities are really good and really important, but they're still not enough, and kids just keep starting to smoke. And so we really need to do something significant to impact kids smoking. And that's why I'm here today. I would rather be out there working with a group of high school students on education than having to testify before a committee on a tobacco tax. But we need your help. If we work together, the legislators, you doing your part by passing a tobacco tax, and us in the schools and communities promoting education, cessation classes, reducing access, and all the other things, I really think we can make a big difference. So I really would urge you to help us help Alaska kids and pass this tobacco tax so we can focus our energy on doing education and promoting health in other ways. And I'd just like to conclude by reading you a couple quotes from some young people that I work with. These are some kids I've worked with on tobacco education or cessation. One 17-year-old girl who recently quit smoking said, "When I started, I did it because I thought it would make me look older. But when I got into it more, I realized I was just a kid acting dumb." Fortunately, by the time she was a kid acting dumb, she was already addicted. Another boy told me, and this was in a smoking cessation class, he told me he realized if he hadn't started smoking, he would have had enough money to buy a nice car instead of having to ride the bus. And the cost of smoking was really making him want to quit, but he was finding it extremely difficult. And finally, a 16-year-old girl says, and I wish she could be here today to tell you this in person, but what she says is, "It has already been decided that for the good of our health, kids should not smoke. It's up to you to try to enforce this law. Children as young as second grade are being caught in elementary school bathrooms lighting up. If we impose a dollar a pack tobacco tax, it will make obtaining cigarettes much harder for young people. It will also help eradicate the practice of, once you get a pack of cigarettes, sharing that pack around and hooking many people. If we impose the dollar a pack increase, current smokers will keep their expensive cigarettes to themselves, and children, perhaps curious to try one, will have their curiosity fade when they see the price tag. That's why I'm here, is because I've had teenagers tell me that they believe if the price were higher, and significantly higher, like a dollar a pack, they think kids would be less likely to start smoking. And the wonderful thing about a tobacco tax is it will help keep kids from starting to smoke, whether they live in Yakutat, Juneau, Tifornac, Craig, wherever they are, every day of the week. And hopefully we'll build on and support the other tobacco prevention efforts we're doing. So I would just urge you to please pass this piece of legislation along and urge your counterparts in the House to do the same.
Thank you.
As we have control of our counterparts in the House, good luck.
Yeah.
You said 74% survey. How was the question phrased in support of that? And in what content was it?
It was a telephone survey done during 1996. And it was phrased asking people about a significant tobacco tax increase. And I don't have the exact wording with me. But I'd be happy to get it in my office.
Was the wording saying basically raise the tax for health purposes or raise the tax
for... Raise the tax for health purposes. Was the emphasis.
Thank you very much. Next, I have Simon Dapovich. Don, it looks like. Good morning.
Good morning, Senator Sharp, Senator Pierce, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Don Dapovich. I'm the executive director for the State Advisory Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse. Your Citizens Advisory Board strongly endorses passage of this legislation. It is good public policy, it's good public health policy, and it's good fiscal policy to pass this legislation. We recognize that the tobacco industry has a marketing dilemma. There are 1,416 best customers in Alaska stop smoking every year because they die from smoking, and they've got to replace them. And they don't replace them with 20-year-olds or 30-year-olds or 40-year-olds. They replace them with 12 and 13-year-olds. And we on the advisory board are extremely concerned about youth use of tobacco. And we know unequivocally that tobacco use is affected in great measure by price. Raise the price, youth consumption goes down. That's been proven over and over again in studies that have been done when these taxes are increased. We would like to see Alaska at the top rather than in the middle in terms of alcohol or tobacco tax. And so we strongly endorse passage of this legislation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Questions? Thank you. Appreciate your being here. Next on the sign-up sheet, I have Joanne Bloom. Good morning.
Thank you, Chair. thanks to the committee members for allowing me to speak today and be part of the process. I heard the bells ringing and calling you to the races, so I'll throw out what I had prepared and just say that I'm probably in the wrong place anyway. I wasn't here to talk about dollars and cents like you are. I came to talk about kids. I came to talk about life and death. I came to talk about the tobacco industry replacing its dead customers with our Alaskan kids. And that gets me a bit emotional. My name is Joanne Bloom. I'm the coordinator for the Juneau Tobacco Prevention Network. I'm pleased to brag that our organization, volunteers made up of moms, health promoters, concerned citizens in our community, were recognized by the Alaska Public Health Association with this 1996 Community Service Award because of the education we're doing and because the compliance work we're doing to see that the laws that are already in place are being implemented, and we've made great strides. But I'm not here to get pats on the head, good job, keep up the good work. I'm here to ask for your support. This, increasing the price of tobacco isn't something that we can do. That's where you come in. We've seen in black and white the surveys that as tobacco prices increase, the use of teenagers decrease. We work with teenagers. We've heard this from them as well. I would urge you to please support this tax. I trust this committee. I don't care where the money goes. I trust that if it went into the general fund, I have faith that this committee would do the right things with the money. So I urge you to pass the tax. Apparently it takes $3 to make up for all the medical costs to our state due to tobacco-related illness. The higher the tobacco tax, the more kids' lives will be saving. Thank you.
Senator Phelps,
comment. I know you just stated you don't care whether it goes to general funds, but my constituents do care where the money goes. And that's why we have this ticket fence around the education to be dedicated towards that. And I think most of my folks will support that concept. And they do care where the money goes. And I just want to state that for the record.
Okay, but
I mean, that's your opinion.
Could you give assurances that you will, sitting on this committee, you'll see that it goes to the right places?
Well, I think in the past years, I think we demonstrated that with the Rail Belt Energy Fund, for one, and so far, PCE, and that's been demonstrated over the years. So, and then Drew Pierce here gave another example of the science and technology money. So I think we have a good track record for these white picket fences.
Thank you for testifying. That's the last person I have signed up. We do have the amendment. I believe all members has it that reflects what the Department of Revenue recommended on reduction of the 1% to 4/10, and we will come back at 6 p.m. and entertain other amendments and continue on with the bill at that time if that's correct as previously scheduled. I understand there may be a conflict being organized by the President's office, but once he tells me when I can get finance done, I guess we'll do it. Could I have someone move amendment number one?
So moved, Mr.
One or two?
One or two.
Number two, which is the one that reduces it from 1% to 4/10. Is that two?
Two.
Yeah.
I had it without a number on it. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, could you briefly explain what this does for this?
What this does, in current law, they allow the wholesalers, distributors to retain 1% of the tax to cover their administrative and bookkeeping expenses for filing. Because of the increase, their actual time involved of doing the same work does not go up appreciably, and if we don't reduce this, it would result in a $300,000 more or less windfall because of the increase in tax.
Okay.
This holds it holds them harmless, plus gives about a $30,000 increase to it.
So this is amendment number two to the work draft, the Q work draft?
To the CS that was approved.
Which is the Q. Yeah.
Any other comments on amendment number two? Is there any objection to amendment number two? Amendment number two has been adopted. At this time, my intention is to recess the committee until 6 p.m. tonight, pending other notices that you may get later. And we'll continue on with the tobacco tax, and we also were scheduled to continue on with the capital overview by three departments. So at that, we stand in recess until 6 p.m.